Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. Stuck by a bee sting, nothing but a bee thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song.
Well, thank you very much, and hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
Yeah, I think that's the answer there is pretty clear.
I stand before you today to declare that the incredible journey we begun together, we went through a journey like nobody else. There's never been a journey like it. There's never been a journey so successful. We began it together 4 years ago, and it is far from being over. We've just
started. We're going to make Journeys great again. Journeys great. He should play Journey music at all of his rallies.
We're not starting new parties. You know, they kept saying, he's going to start a brand new party. We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party. That was fake news. Fake news, no. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Let's start a new party and let's divide our vote so that you can never win. No, we're not interested in that.
Yeah,
no.
As a practical matter, this notion of a third party never seemed to be much of a serious contender, especially because what would it mean? Well, what has it always meant? You know, whenever you start some alternate party, you basically wind up helping the other side. That's always what happens. So do you think President Trump, as a pragmatist, that his goal would be to split the votes to make sure that Democrats always win? It doesn't seem very likely, right? But it was nice to hear him say it. Of course, the repeated mantra, the repeated theme is the civil war within the Republican Party, or the big fissure within the Republican Party. Every coalition this large has its disagreements. The left certainly does. You have the sort of mild socialist versus full-blown socialists of the left. And you have the conservative mainstream, if you want to call it that, the establishment wing of the Republican Party versus the Trump wing of the Republican Party versus the libertarian wing of the Republican Party, versus the social conservative wing of the Republican Party. And not any one of those four is all the same thing, by the way. In the end, you agree to try to hit 51%. I mean, that's the goal. But it's nice to hear him say it. And I don't know how this all shakes out in 2024 or even, 2022. Obviously, we will see. But the one thing I would say about this speech that he gave yesterday is it was focused. It was not the normal, or what we've gotten accustomed to as the normal kind of, rambling ranting. The speech at the Oval before the Capitol riot, which, again, I don't connect those two all that tightly in my own mind based on the timing and the people. But still, that speech was just it was Trump without limits. And this speech at CPAC was much more disciplined. It was much more on message. It was specific about voting reforms. It was specific about the abysmal failure of the Biden administration to understand the leverage Trump had created by the Iran sanctions, or by withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord, or by withdrawing from the WHO, or by the various trade things that have been established against China, or on and on and on. It just, or even working with NATO. They just don't get it. They don't think of things from a business perspective like he does. But even aside from that, when he was criticizing Biden, he was talking a lot about the sort of specifics of, for example, immigration. Why would you stop building a wall that works? And as many other people throughout the weekend had pointed out, and yet you built a wall around the Capitol complex.
Perhaps worst of all, Joe Biden's decision to cancel border security has single-handedly launched a youth migrant crisis that is enriching child smugglers, vicious criminal cartels, and some of the most evil people on the planet.
And when it comes to COVID, Biden keeps touting this $1.9 trillion, again, which is one $1,900,000. Just to kind of wrap your brain around this thing, as if it's essential for opening schools when there's money in the prior COVID bills for doing this.
The Democrats now say we have to pass their $1.9 trillion boondoggle to open schools, but a very small part of it has to do with that. You know where it's going. It's going to bail out badly run Democrat cities, so much of it. But billions of dollars for schools remain unspent from the COVID relief bills that were passed last year. So on behalf of the moms, dads, and children of America, I call on Joe Biden to get the schools open and get them open now. It'd be a great thing to do.
I mean, the free state of Florida's had schools open since August, you know, without a federal funding bill, amazingly, right? And even the issue of vaccines, like, I know the Biden administration has worked really hard to portray it as an empty shelf situation when they came in and they did anything to solve the vaccines. Well, nothing about that really makes sense.
Not only did we push the FDA far beyond what the bureaucrats wanted to do, we also put up billions and billions of dollars, $10 billion, to produce the vaccines before we knew they were going to work. It was called a calculated bet or a calculated risk. We took a risk because if we didn't do that, you still wouldn't have the vaccines. You wouldn't have them for a long time. So think of that. We took this bet. We made a bet because we thought we were on a certain track, but you'd be starting to make them right now. It'd be a long time before you ever saw them.
And by the way, even the doses that have been rolling out under the Biden administration did not start production under the Biden administration.
It takes 60 to 100 days to manufacture and inspect new doses, and that means that 100% of the increased availability that we have now was initiated by our administration, 100%.
Which even Francis Collins, he says, acknowledges.
In fact, the director of National Institutes of Health, Francis Collins, he's Fauci's boss, actually. I think he's a Democrat, too, by the way, recently said that our Operation Warp Speed was absolutely breathtaking and that the Trump administration deserves full credit, which we do.
So you look around at the things, you know, Biden administration is doing its really darn best to try to take credit for things that were already established under the Trump administration. I mean, for the bailout, the $1.9 trillion bailout, the economy is already set to recover fast, aggressively. So the goal of the bailout, at least in part, is to be able to say, oh, we did this. Well, if you put $2 trillion on top of something that was already going to happen, and you hope that people don't realize what was already coming, according to all the economists, that the recovery was already on its way, you can make it look like you did it. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, in the front gate of NAS Pensacola, Andrews backed up all the way to the intersection of Barrancas and Gulf Beach Highway. And we are actually seeing some delays now as a result of this on North Navy Boulevard, slightly in front of the Warrington Elementary School. So backed up pretty far. Back gate is a little delayed, nowhere near as delayed as the front gate. So that could be a secondary option. We are still seeing delays due to the accident that occurred on Gulf Breeze Parkway. This is going eastbound right in front of the Sonic Drive-In by the entrance of the Tiger Point Golf Course. We are also seeing delays as we're going northbound across Garcon until we get on the hump, and then it clears up a little bit. Then you're going to get delayed once again at the Toll Plaza, and then you're going to clear up once again until you get just past Garcon Point Road. It is very delayed going northbound on Avalon. Also southbound Avalon showing delays around Del Monte Street, and we are seeing minor delays due to a minor accident that had occurred in front of the Little Madness Brewing Company. This is affecting westbound traffic on 9 Mile Road, right by that split of Davis Highway. And this report is brought to you by ECUA's Recycle Coach app. It's here. It's free. Recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation, collection reminders. You can even report a problem along with doing so much more. Download it today for free. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I know for a lot of you, you fly for business reasons, and you might just not be accustomed to thinking about how Southeast Air Shuttle can be of use to you, but let me give you just one example. Let's say you got to go to Atlanta for something, but you don't have to go to Atlanta proper. Like, you have to go to a place that's an hour outside of Atlanta. So what do? You got to, you know, you get up, you go early, you go through screening, you know, you sit in the plane with everybody else, and then you land in Atlanta, and then you got to wait for your baggage, and then you got to navigate through the traffic in Atlanta, and then eventually you get to your place. Okay, well, here's an alternative. You call Southeast Air Shuttle. You talk to Captain Eric, and you show up, you know, when you got to leave at the east side of the airport. He flies you to the field, the general aviation field, that's actually close to your end destination. You land there. You have a rental car waiting for you. You basically step down out of the plane with your bag onto the car and go. And you save all this time, all this convenience. That's the idea. And then he'll wait for you, and then you can come back. And if you got to go to a second place, same thing. See, the whole point of Southeast Air Shuttle is that you basically are in charge of what the plane does. You don't fly when you're told. You fly when you want. Southeast Air Shuttle, they're your no-line airline. Find out more how they can help you at flysoutheast.com. Morning, 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News on Friday. Had a chance to go look at the new courthouse from the outside, not from the inside. I was a little bit disappointed that we didn't get to go on the inside of it, but it is all under major construction right now. It would have been closing down and stopping construction just so the pretty people of the media could take a look, which I understand that decision. But basically, we're looking to open this thing end of quarter two of next year. So it's basically supposed to be ready to go next year. And I mean, if you drive up and down Avalon, you've seen it, which I don't envy you if you've driven up and down Avalon recently, but still, you know, went over there on Friday. I'll tell you more about that coming up. Also, we started our we moved to a new county for our biking, Davis. We finished up Escambia County a couple of weeks ago, and we've now started on Santa Rosa County. So my wife and I biked in the Indian Bayou area of Garcon Point. What a nice area. I mean, you know, it's low-lying, so I don't know how storms are, but there's loads of good property there. Like, you could easily, there's all kinds of these, like, half-developed subdivisions, you know, and stuff, so you could definitely build down there. And my thought is, if you built there, you're right off of Avalon, off of I-10. You can get anywhere you want fast. You know, people are always trying to buy up north, like up north of Milton. I get there's more services and whatnot, but still, I don't know. It seems like a really nice area to develop.
I know that there's the Blackwater Trail off Munson Highway. Mm-hmm. I want to see how that is. You know, I feel almost silly saying this. I really don't have a bike anymore.
Oh, and you got it. That's the old bikes. Rails to Trails.
Yes.
That's a great little stretch. It's fun.
I want to bike that one day, but first I need to get a bike.
Buy a bike.
Buy a bike, which it's hard to come by.
There's
right
also
now.
A really nice one. I forget the location of it. It's this. It reminds me of the UWF trails over there off the east side of, like, Munson Highway. So I forget where it is exactly. We did this one years ago, back when we were just starting to do our biking. 7:23 here on News Radio, 92.3 and AM 1620. And Olive Road is open. You were right, Davis. I drove it on Friday. I'm like, oh, my God, here it is.
Yeah, you like, never would have known about it until I finally drove on it.
I know, exactly. So years in the making and no announcement, no ribbon cutting. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says sexual harassment allegations against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo are credible. The California Democrat, one of several in her party, calling for an independent investigation into the Democratic governor's behavior after two former staffers came forward. The CDC gives the green light to distribute Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine. CEO Alex Gorsky telling the Today Show the rollout is already underway. A CDC panel voted to recommend the single-dose shot for use in the U.S. just days after the FDA granted that emergency use authorization. Start of March brings with it Women's History Month. Congress declaring the first official Women's History Month in March of 1987. Prior to that, then-President Jimmy Carter, back in 1980, designated the first National Women's History Week.
March 5th. What did I say? March 5th? March 15th, I was thinking. We got March 1st is now. The Ides are coming up, and the end of the month we're supposed to have a bridge, right?
Right.
And all month it's Women's History Month.
That's correct.
I don't think I knew that it was Women's History Month until you mentioned that.
I did not either.
I guess you think the advocates for Women's History Month looked at the success this year of Black History Month and thought, us too. We can do a month. Let's go. Because, I mean, Black History Month was far more promoted this year than ever in the past, which is, I mean, great. I don't mind it. I'm just saying it. You know, obviously following George Floyd and all the protests last year, I think an awful lot of people thought, let's really do this for real this time. And it was neat to see. Very interesting.
Women's History, International Women's Day is March 8th.
Okay. That's news to me also.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
That's your job. 1 week out, 7:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Did receive an update that accident on Gulf Breeze Parkway eastbound, it has been moved over to the median, although still seeing delays actually from there all the way to the light in front of the entrance to Garcon Point Bridge. Also westbound Gulf Breeze Parkway is delayed also at the going towards the light. Going northbound across the bridge, it is a little delayed until you get off the hump. It does clear back up, but then you're going to be met with delays on Avalon Boulevard. Before you get to Mary Kitchens Road, it is showing those typical delays around this time. Also delayed is the front gate of NAS Pensacola, backed up to Winthrop Avenue, so it doesn't appear to be backed up to the intersection anymore of Barrancas. The back gate is now checking and clear. No real delays to report over there. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly, and taking a look at 9 Mile Road, we're not seeing any more delays. There was an accident that had occurred over there going westbound as you're at the split to Davis Highway, but that appears to have cleared up. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
You know, if you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, Barberry Plumbing, it's a leak, it's a drip, it's a weird sound in the wall, it's a water pressure, it's a water heat issue, if it's a plumbing issue, right? Barberry Plumbing, they'll come and fix it. They'll tell you what it's going to cost before they do the work because they charge by the job, not by the hour. Very simple flat rate pricing is what that's called. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day, slipping into stockings, stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat.
Let's welcome in the voice of the Cardinals, Mike Shannon.
Thank you, John. It is Robles is standing in from the right side. Last season, this guy had 3 home runs, 15 RBIs, and he batted 220. Robles looks at the first pitch, and it's a fastball, and it's a strike call, and we're underway. Spring training 2021.
There you go. Spring training 2021. And I think the Cardinals, for other reasons, on the Fox Sports, the TV coverage, I know one of these voices is Jim Edmonds. I haven't figured out who the other voice is. I wasn't watching the TV. But they also made some news yesterday.
Invent himself, and especially on a team like this.
And the 1-1. Hey. Oh. Angel Hernandez is in midseason form.
Let's not make this game too fast, Angel.
Angel Hernandez is 100% the worst umpire in Major League Baseball. There's yep. not even a question. He cannot figure out the strike zone all the time. He gets calls wrong all the time. I have no idea why he's still an umpire. And Angel Hernandez is in midseason form.
Yeah, there's got to be the one, right? Oh, you know, the Cardinals have a really cool tradition.
By the way, that pitch was right down the middle. Called a ball.
The Cardinals do have a really cool tradition where every spring training, the first game, the entire staff, including pitching staff, outfield, infield, all that, they all watch the pitcher warm up. The Cardinals do that every year, and Jack was the starting
Jack
pitcher.
He did not do well yesterday at all. But
they apparently that's a Cardinals tradition.
I've never
the
heard
whole
of that.
Staff watches the starting pitcher warm up for this first spring training game.
That's super awkward. But okay, yeah. Tradition. I'll take that. Just cracks me. Baseball's back, and it, you know, honestly, unlike last year, it feels like actually baseball's back. That's what I'm excited about. I'm excited for having fans in stadiums, hopefully. So, fingers crossed. And Wahoos are coming back to Pensacola, of course, this year, too.
You know more because you get your news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
And don't be sorry. Join me as we proudly represent the pro-Trump America first wing of the conservative movement. We're not really a wing. We're the whole body. We're the main attraction in the greatest show on earth. It's our ideas that fill the stadiums with cheering fans. And while the establishment owns the think tanks, we're the ones doing all the thinking in the populist movement as conservatives.
Yeah, as expected, Matt Gaetz was a show stealer on Friday. Loud, brash, I think thoughtful. I always think Matt's entertaining at the very least. And willing to say things that other people aren't willing to say. I mean, in fact, honestly, his comments about, well, here, this some of this may sound a little bit familiar to what I was saying on Friday.
We gather here today in the shadow of Disney.
In Orlando.
A corporation that recently canceled its own founder, Walt Disney. Look out, Mr. Potato Head, you're next. I'm sorry, I think now he's going by Potato X. Can't be Mr. Potato. And I see, to me, the whole concept of the Mr. Potato Head was you could move the parts around. I mean, Mr. Potato Head was America's first transgender doll, and even he got canceled.
Which, I mean, you can't argue. That's exactly what I was saying on Friday.
I'm a canceled man in some corners of the internet. I'm a banned man in the state of New Jersey. The governor literally said I was unwelcome. Many days I'm a marked man in Congress, a wanted man by the deep state. But every day I'm a Florida man, and it is good to be home.
And as I said, this comment just cracked me up. It was one of those. It's funny how you learn to be, I don't know, skittish about certain topics. You can complain about political correctness or cancel culture all you like, but we all learn how to internalize the things that it's trying to tell you not to say. And so when he's making this comment, I'm thinking, oh, but here you go.
Florida's like an amazing woman, adventurous, beautiful, mostly sunny, sometimes a little crazy, and always here to encourage and support success. By contrast, New York is like a bad ex-husband. Mean, won't let you go out to dinner. You're less safe, financially spiraling downward, and they may kill your grandparents.
Well, he's not supposed to say stuff like that about women. Sometimes crazy. It's funny. 437-1620. Now, Ted Cruz did speak. Ted Cruz needs to not do comedy. Because when he tries comedy, it doesn't work. It's just, it falls flat like every time. I haven't had a chance to play any of the clips. When he's just... And he's also a little bit over the top in his preaching, too, you know, but he was there. OK. And the only reason I mention is because I think Matt was after Ted, or Matt, I think he was after him anyway. But he was talking about the Ted Cruz situation with, you know, comparing it to coverage of Cruz's trip to Cancun versus coverage of the real scandals with Andrew Cuomo.
Now, speaking of all this bias, it was awful the way the media treated Ted Cruz. I mean, the left and the media were more worried about Ted Cruz going to Mexico to spend his own money than they are about the caravans coming through Mexico to take ours.
It's not exactly a side-by-side comparison, but, you know, there you go. I agree with this. I think it's weird that so little has been done to try to protect the concept, if not the law. The First Amendment does not specifically restrict private companies in what they tell you to say. Obviously, it doesn't. I mean, in its original form, it doesn't even restrict local governments. Now, incorporation has made that true through the 14th Amendment. But the idea of Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and canceling the president and canceling or deplatforming or, you know, throttling conservatives, that's a real problem. And Matt kind of points out the hypocrisy of those people who advocate for fledgling democracy all around the world and the concept of dissent and free speech, and then are in favor of stifling dissent and free speech on social media platforms and on college campuses in particular.
And here's what I don't get. Leaders in both parties have no problem flooding the deserts of the Middle East with American cash and American blood over the mirages of democracies potentially emerging far, far away. But they won't lift a finger here in our country to do what is necessary to preserve our republic, and that is to ensure access to the digital world for everyone, regardless of their politics.
I mean, if on the one hand we talk about broadband access being one of the basic infrastructure entitlements of American citizens in this century, which is why we're talking about things like, you know, paved roads and water and clean air and digital access for Escambia County, for example. That's why we're talking about it the same way. Well, if that's true, you can't then have that same thing be a basic human need or right in the digital era and turn around and allow it to be controlled by people who do not believe in the core values of free speech. That's what he's getting at. And he's right about that.
We were promised that technology would disrupt and democratize power. But what happens when all of the technology companies ultimately get the power and the government all at once? There are no checks and balances when they can control, alt, delete anyone for any reason.
And I thought Tom Cotton, Senator Cotton, put the punctuation mark on that with his speech later.
They want to erase and rewrite our history. These liberals read 1984 and thought it wasn't a cautionary tale, but a two manual. These are the same liberals that were burning our flag over and over again last summer in the streets.
And if you think that it's just about, for example, taking away Confederate monuments, which, again, just to be clear, I'm not in favor of Confederate monuments. I grew up in the North. They're the wrong symbols to me. But I don't like taking down history, and I don't like, you know, forcing new revisionist history on anybody.
And remember this, too. Remember this, too. Last summer, as those mobs rampaged in the streets, they tore down statues of Abraham Lincoln and U.S. Grant. When they're tearing down statues of Lincoln and Grant, it's not about the Civil War or racism. It's because they hate America.
So that was Senator Tom Cotton. But the final note I want to give to Matt Gaetz was, and I thought this was particularly interesting, kind of this wide-ranging critique of social media, which, of course, he is a staunch user of, right? I mean, he is a Twitter. I don't know of anybody who uses Twitter more than Matt Gaetz, right?
So are these social networks really making us stronger, safer? Or do they just further addict us to our vices? Instagram for vanity, Twitter for wrath, Uber Eats for gluttony, and Tinder for lust.
I mean, is that wrong? Is that inaccurate? And the question he's asking is, are these things really good for us? Are they really building our country, promoting our country? Which, by the way, is a question people on the left also ask based on divisiveness. But what he's saying is we need people who are going to understand modern technology and not let it be driven by the leftists in Silicon Valley and really try to find a way to use it to promote America, to build America, and, of course, to beat our near-peer adversary in the East.
We need a renewed patriotic nationalism in America. In technology, that means let's get our best team together and go whip China. And in politics, it means let's get our best team together and go whip the establishment.
So that was the speech from Matt on Friday at CPAC. By comparison, even Ron DeSantis, who was picked number two in the straw poll to run if President Trump, well, he was number two to Trump if Trump runs, with a high number, by the way, and overwhelmingly he was the favorite if Trump does not win. Rick Scott, not as exciting of a speech, to be frank with you. And Ted Cruz, weird speech all around. 747 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the five.
Yeah, and as we take a look at Garcon Point Bridge, it is very slow moving, really going in both directions. Northbound delayed the entire way all the way through the toll plaza. And then as you get on through to Avalon, it does back up once again once you get to Mary Kitchens Road. Going southbound on Avalon, going towards I-10, is still backed up beyond Moores Oak Drive. I-10, I-110, though, checking in clear. The front gate of Ineos Pensacola, it is still delayed, but improving, backed up to Inter Bay Avenue. The back gate of NAS Pensacola appears to be flowing smoothly now. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, one of the things that Bobby Likas Auto Repair always wants to emphasize is that routine scheduled maintenance and inspections. It's just like going to the doctor. You know, you don't just go to the doctor when there's a problem. I mean, you obviously go to the doctor when there's a problem, but you want to go for those healthy visits, those well visits, because that's when you make sure that everything is being taken care of. You know, a lot of people have the idea like you buy a car and then forget about it until something breaks. Well, that invites things to break more often. So what you do is you go over to Bobby Likas Auto Service for routine, regular, scheduled maintenance, even a once a year, just kind of check it over and make sure that everything's fine. Because, you know, they'll check all the basic things. They'll do a digital inspection. They'll send you the pictures. so you know how to compare if everything, if something ever isn't right, and you can see the then and now kind of thing. All just basic ideas of how to make sure that you actually spend less by being a little bit more deliberate and planning how you do spend your money on getting your car inspected and taking care of it. Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway or online at carclinicservice.com.
How many doses will be available and when will they be available to the public?
As soon as the EUA is essentially formalized, when doses can come out, you're going to see a few million doses. I mean, literally a handful. But by the end of March, there'll be 20 million, and then there will be a total of 100 million as we get probably to June.
Yeah, we now have a third vaccine on its way.
Is Johnson & Johnson an inferior vaccine, particularly for older Americans?
No. You know, it's not. You can't say that. We now have, Margaret, clearly three highly efficacious vaccines. They are highly efficacious in many ways, including, importantly, preventing severe or critical disease. If you look at all three of them, they're really very good. The J&J data that just came out and that was just examined by the FDA, when you have advanced critical disease, there were no hospitalizations and no deaths. That's good news.
Yeah, single dose refrigeration, not frozen. The J&J Janssen vaccine has been approved. 4 million or so shipping, 100 million by the end of March. 20 million by the end of March, so 16 million more, and then 100 million by the end of June. And I'll tell you my view on this. I think I've said it before, but if I haven't, I'll definitely say it now. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, I don't care. Just give me a vaccine. They are all good. They all have value. They all work at a very high rate of efficacy. I think probably if you gave me my total choice, I probably would prefer the Moderna vaccine. But it's like A, B, and C, and they're all in the very, very top tier. But, you know, you give me one, you let me at 50 take it, I'll take it. No problem. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo apologizing for his actions as he faces allegations of sexual harassment.
The governor has denied all of these allegations. In fact, he issued a new statement, and he said that sometimes his comments could be misinterpreted as flirtation, and for that, he is sorry.
That's NBC's Kathy Park. At least two former aides have come forward with claims of sexual harassment in recent days.
I'm really, really sorry that you completely misunderstood me so badly. And I'm really, really sorry that you were hurt because of your stupid misunderstanding of me. Did I adequately rephrase?
Yeah, I guess one could...
Go ahead, okay. Mark.
President Biden would consider sending direct payments to fewer Americans, but he has no interest in lowering the amount. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Fox News Sunday said Biden would look at lowering the income threshold for those direct payments, but not the amount. The feature-length Tom and Jerry movie. Now, there's something I can get into. In North America's box office, Star earned about $14 million in its debut weekend in theaters in the U.S. and Canada. The Croods came in second, followed by The Little Things, Wonder Woman 1984, and The Marksman.
Go ahead.
That's Tom and Jerry, the movie. Okay.
Yeah, people always say that Tom and Jerry encourages, you know, dangerous and reckless behavior, much like the, you know, various Looney Tunes or whatever. No, it's good safety tips. It's things like don't leave the rake laying down
with the spikes up.
Yeah, because you could step on that and hurt yourself.
Correct.
I mean, that's just good safety advice is what I'm thinking.
That's true. $14 million.
That's better than three.
Better than $3 million, but...
Yeah, not
how times have changed.
Yeah, right. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. And by the way, just a super quick note on the Andrew Cuomo stuff. I actually believe you ought to have a workplace where people are allowed to flirt and make jokes and run the risk of offending. I don't want to live in a world where it's sanitized against having anybody's microaggression misunderstood. I want a world where people are able to make jokes and have camaraderie and run risks. And that's a healthier world. I'm not saying that what he did was right. I don't know what he did. But I am saying that we're heading towards a workplace and a world in which everybody's afraid to say anything all the time. That is not a healthy human situation. 7:55, Davis Allen. Time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, spring training, it's here. It's underway. Got underway yesterday. 28 of the 30 MLB teams played their first game on Sunday. That also includes the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers. They took down the Oakland A's 2-1, playing only 7 innings, by the way. So 7 innings, I kind of like it. You know, it's spring training. We don't need to play the full game. The starters aren't playing.
I think the Cardinals played
9.
I think.
I don't see. I, need
I, heard,
the
I
Rays
didn't listen
did
all the way through.
The
so.
Rays did not. They played okay. 7 innings. In fact, they actually won their game on a walk-off home run in the 7th. I was confused when it ended, but yeah, that's likely what's happening. Also, I just find this hilarious. So William Byron, a winner at Homestead and NASCAR. I always love it when a NASCAR event is named after Dixie Vodka. Yes. let's do a driving event named after alcohol.
Plus Dixie.
Please. Yeah, and Dixie.
Right.
So, yeah, we're really pushing
boundaries. Double offense. I love it.
We are pushing boundaries. And actually, here's a Florida event, another Florida event. Well, congratulations to Colin Morikawa for winning the WGC Workday Challenge at the concession, played in Bradenton, Florida. Many golfers out on the course paid homage to Tiger Woods wearing red and black. That's a Tiger Woods signature. He always does that on Sundays. And now let's roll us into your traffic on the fives, where going on Avalon Boulevard northbound, it is still delayed, but getting a little bit better, backed up to Tuscarora Trail. Southbound also improving, going towards I-10. We do see delays going northbound through Garcon Point Bridge, and it will clear up after you get through the toll plaza. Going southbound, it is delayed as you're on the hump trying to get into Gulf Breeze. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, we all drive. That means that we all have a time when we have to replace that car. Now, by the time you replace it, maybe you don't love it as much anymore. Maybe you really dislike. I don't know. Everybody's in a different situation. When it comes time to find a car, go to Frontier Motors. Now, maybe you want to include a couple of other places. That's fine. I will never tell you don't increase your number of options. Just be sure you include Frontier Motors on the list. Go to them in the beginning of the process. Go to them at the end of the process. You know, somewhere along the line, just go and say, hey, what can you do for me? Andrew's always talking about you guys, that you're such a good place to buy cars from. What can you do for me? And they'll show you. Or they'll let you sit in the cars. They'll let you drive the cars. And they'll show you the, you know, one sheet pricing so that you know exactly everything that's involved. And it's total out-the-door price is the only thing that you ever talk about. They've been selling people good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition for more than 25 years. People just like you, me, our neighbors, Dave Ramsey endorses them. You know, there's a reason, okay? For more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, Frontier Motors, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Minneapolis is going to pay $1 million. They've allocated $1 million now that they don't want to pay their police anymore, to pay various information outlets, including social media influencers, to give favorable, accurate coverage to all of the follow-up and the trials and things related to the George Floyd. Oh, man, this is... You're trying to buy media coverage? Ugh. Well, we'll see how this goes. We'll be back in a minute.